reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all throughout the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." His slave said to him, "Do you want us to go to pull them all up?" He replied, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time I will say to the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout this chapter 8 of St. Matthew's Gospel, throughout this chapter 13 of St. Matthew's Gospel, we have 8 parables of the kingdom. We know where it starts. It starts with the parable of the sower and the seed and the 4 types of receptivity that we have toward what God is doing in our life. Then we focus on how that seed he plants in us, like a mustard seed or like leaven, begins to grow so that we lift everybody up and everybody can come into our branches. And then in this image, Jesus says, we become seed that he himself plants into the world so that that mystery can take place, but it's not taking place in a vacuum. We had heard before about the hardened soil within us, the rocks and the thorns within us. But outside of us, there's also something going on. The devil is sowing his own agents. The devil himself is trying to oppose that work. And so, good seed and bad grow up together. What's the response? First response of those in the parable was, "Do you want us to go rip out the weeds?" But this is something that would have been very well known in the Holy Land. Lolium grows up out of the soil and looks just like wheat, so that even experts can't tell the difference until they get to be tall enough that their roots are all intertwined. And literally, to try to rip out the lolium would take away some of the wheat. And so what they've had to do in the Holy Land is literally wait until harvest time, and then they go through the complicated process of separating the two, because the fruit of the lolium is itself mildly poisonous, so it can't get mixed up with the wheat. So this would have been an image that Jesus' listeners would have heard. But the impetuosity to try to take out the roots early, he wanted us to learn from spiritually. The most important thing he wants us to focus on is not rooting out the bad seed. The most important thing he wants for us to focus on is becoming good, fruitful wheat. There are many Christians who worry so much more about suppressing heresy than they do proclaiming the truth, about giving fraternal corrections to their neighbor, rather than about living with a type of example that the neighbor just says, I want to emulate that person's virtues. We can focus on others' planks, to use Jesus' image, without not only focusing on our own specks, but on building his kingdom with whatever resources that he's given us. Jesus wants us first to have confidence in what he has done within us and just grow. Tells us that there's always going to be good and bad seed. There's always going to be weeds. There's always going to be bad fish, to use his other image, in the net of the church. We shouldn't be overly concerned about that. This is hugely important today. There would be a lot to criticize. Sometimes, let's be honest, we're all going to ask, is the Holy Father mad with some of the advisors around him, writing the garbage that they're writing and confusing people as if that's a virtue? We could likewise point to the 3/4 of Christians who don't practice the faith. We could point to clerics who aren't images and icons of the goodness of the Lord. Plenty of that before we even start on Catholic pro-abort politicians. So much we could worry about. But the Lord wants us focused on something else. In the middle of the world, there are going to be scoundrels and there are going to be Mother Teresa's. He wants us to prioritize becoming holy, because the growth can't stop. That's what this parable communicates to us. How do we do that? At a practical level, the first thing we need to do is ponder our divine filiation. The very end of this passage, it says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom, not just of God, the kingdom of their Father. It begins with recognizing who we are. That when we receive the Lord, he gives us the power to become children of God. And that's so much greater for the good than all the evil that the devil could muster. We have to let that reality continuously take on our flesh. How do we do it? First is through prayer. Today in the first reading, we see Moses going into the tent, which is an Old Testament precursor to what we do in prayer, especially in prayer of adoration of the Lord. We go in there in such a way that the Lord helps us to glow inwardly and some of the times even outwardly. We become more and more like the one we love. That's the first step. To become like God, we need to spend time with him to allow what he's doing truly to grow. And when we spend time with the Lord, then we will become more merciful. He reveals himself today. The Lord, he cries out, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity, continuing his kindness for 1,000 generations. The more we ponder God's face, the more easily we acquire his attributes from the inside out. And that's what allows us to become as patient as God is in the parable, waiting until the judgment. Because if we were to pull out the weeds too soon, we would never have pulled out a St. Paul. We would have never pulled out a St. Augustine. We would never have had a St. Paul. We would have never had a St. Augustine. And if the roots had been pulled out too early, we would have had none of us. So we become more like God through pondering him who is rich in mercy. Today the church celebrates someone who illustrates these lessons for us, St. Alphonsus Liguori, who in the 1700s was an extraordinary agent of the mercy of the Lord. Probably know a little bit of his story. He'd received two doctorates when he was 16, became a famous practicing lawyer at 19. His first 8 years of trying cases, he never lost one, till one case when he was 27, where he overlooked a piece of evidence and lost a case. It really rocked him, but rocked him in a good way. He turned to the Lord and recognized it was all vanity anyway. So he wanted to become a priest, but his father didn't want him. Eventually he was permitted to study for the priesthood at home rather than with the Oratorians. But over the course of time, especially through this new congregation of women, the Redemptoristines, he saw what the Lord himself was asking of him, to go re-evangelize everybody through preaching missions, especially in parishes for a long time. Founded the Congregation of the Redeemer to talk first about God's mercy, and then second, how we have to respond to it. That now is the time for growth. Now is not the time to revel in being a weed. And he brought tens of thousands back to the faith. He did all of this, suffering unbelievably. I love St. Alphonsus very much because his Life of the Saint was one of the first that I read when I was really seriously taking the priestly call and preparing for it when I was in college. And I was struggling a little bit with headaches at the time, every once in a while. St. Alphonsus had migraines for the last several decades of his life. And in order to decrease the pain, he used to have to just lay his head against a cold slab of marble just for a little respite. And despite it all, he had made a promise to the Lord, an offering, never to waste time. And so whenever he had any time when people weren't on him, he would be writing books and pamphlets and the rest, such that he's one of the most prodigious spiritual authors of all time. In the little minutes that he has, fighting off terrible pain, he did this all out of his love for the Lord and out of his love for others. He became the patron saint of confessors, not just because he would spend so much time, even as a bishop, hearing the confessions of his flock, going on these missions for months and reconciling everybody, but because he wrote manuals for other confessors precisely about how to be not strict judges but merciful fathers in the image of the one who revealed himself to Moses as a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. He was able to become that merciful because at the same time he was writing books about Jesus in the Eucharist, writing prayers to help people adore the Lord, and modeling his entire life on the glories of Mary, who shows us how to pray in this way. Today, as we come forward, Jesus wants to implant himself in us so that we can become like the Father. He who is the icon of the invisible God wants to transform us into his image. Today, let us let him do his work. And then today, as children of that Father who loves us, that Father who has been merciful to us, let us go out and shine. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.